AFL club will look into allegations of off-the-book drug testing and the government defends carbon credits. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the latest from NIRS News. The Melbourne Demons say the club will seek answers about allegations that a club doctor was asked by the AFL to carry out off-the-book drug testing of players to avoid game day detection. The doctor-turned-whistleblower says players were advised to fake an injury so they wouldn't be at risk of being tested and suspended for breaches of the World Anti-Doping Agency Code. The claims have been aired under parliamentary privilege. Melbourne Demons coach Simon Goodwin says further details are needed.
I think as we work through today and the AFL provides some more information, I think we'll be able to build some more clarity about what it looks like moving forward, but I'm not going to speculate on what that will look like.
The federal government has pushed back against claims the carbon credit system is failing to reduce carbon emissions. The scheme encourages businesses to adopt new strategies to tackle their carbon output by investing in new technology, changing how vegetation is managed, and improving productive energy use. Businesses which adopt those measures are given credits valued between $40 and $80 each. But a peer-reviewed study from the Journal of Communications, Earth and Environment found forest cover has barely grown back or has become worse across 80% of the 182 projects analysed. Speaking to the ABC, Federal Energy Minister Chris Bowen says other independent reviews say otherwise.
It's not a view that's supported by the Emissions Reduction Assurance Committee's report, which they commissioned, peer-reviewed independent statistical analysis, which found that HIR projects have had a significant increase in vegetation.
The Coalition's calling for a full Senate inquiry into the government's deportation bill after it failed to justify the urgency of the legislation. National Radio News' Noah Secum has more from Canberra.
The legislation gives the Immigration Minister the ability to fine and or incarcerate non-citizens with a bridging visa or without any visa if they fail to comply with the government's efforts to remove them from the country. Shadow Home Affairs Minister James Patterson says department executives were unable to outline who may be affected when speaking to a brief Senate inquiry last night. He says the government has provided no reason to rush the legislation through the parliament.
The only circumstances in which the parliament should ever agree to rush a bill through in 36 hours is if there's a genuine need. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen what that genuine need is. The government hasn't made that case, and in the absence of that, we should follow due process.
There'll be more after this.
Hi, Natalie Armat here from NITV. No matter where you're from or who your mob is, we all know the importance of belonging to community and feeling connected to country. They're central to our culture. Sunday, March 31 is Neighbour Day, a day that reminds us why having a sense of belonging and strong social connections are not just good for our own well-being, they're also good for those around us. For some easy-to-use tips and resources on how to create belonging in your community, visit neighbourseveryday.org.
Program sponsor.
Queensland police will be flown into crime hotspots across the state.
Our high-intensity policing has demonstrated some success in turning the corner in 12 of our 14 regions, and we want to see that progress continue. That's why we're really ramping up that effort with Operation Whiskey Legion. This will be extra police available to fly into regions to identify risks of future crime hotspots, to intervene early, to use intelligence to identify offenders at risk of offending or escalating their offending, and intervene with them. So it's a program that's worked in recent months, and we want to see it greatly expanded.
That's Queensland Premier Stephen Miles there speaking to the ABC. Two overseas and US authorities say it's unlikely six missing construction workers will be rescued after a bridge collapsed in Baltimore. The Maryland State Governor, Wes Moore, says the waters underneath the Francis Scott Key Bridge are still the scene of an active search and rescue operation more than 12 hours after the incident. Speaking to the ABC, WTOP reporter John Doman says the collapse will have a widespread impact across the community.
This is going to disrupt all those people who work here. And then it's hard for them at that point to even think about the further economic ripples that are going to happen in other states, because a lot of cargo has to now get routed elsewhere. There are cruise ships that are supposed to be coming back here sometime soon. And, you know, they're going to have to make plans for that as well.
That's the latest from NIRS News.
When someone was sharing intimate images without my permission,
and threatening me online. I didn't know what to do. One of my aunties told me about the online safety laws and helped me report the abuse to esafety.gov.au. The laws help to keep people safe from severe online abuse and help to remove dangerous online content. Go to esafety.gov.au to learn more or to report online abuse. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
What do you want to do for the rest of your life?
I'm 17. I don't know that. Ask me what I want to do next. Practical courses with flexible choices. To start a diploma and start earning faster. And maybe move on to a uni degree.
Help them do what feels right for right now. At TAFE Queensland. Applications now open. RTO 0275 PRV 13003.
Station sponsor.
Hey, Bill and Gunnum, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you. And Gaibara Galanunda, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to this program. We are broadcasting from the beautiful city of Gimoi, and we just wanted to say thank you for joining us here on Black Law Tribal Edition. And I guess we've got Ganyara and Yirilim here. I'm not too sure if Bumi's running a little bit late or he's got some other appointments, but sometimes he's looking for a park. And we've got some young Yidinji citizens in the room as well listening and participating in this broadcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening to this program, because it might be via podcast, of course. And Ganyara and Yirilim, welcome to the show. Ganyara, lots of things have been... we've talked about it before, about pseudo-law and how it's a gammon law or it's fake law, or it looks like law, but it's not. And that's what we'll be talking about today, and in particular... things that are associated with the sovereign citizen movement.
Yeah, look, it's been an interesting time over the last few weeks with the Chief Superintendent of Police having to be dragged into a magistrate's court of all things, the lowest court of the land, and it's barely a court because there's not much they can actually hear about, you know, especially when it comes to constitutional stuff. So, but when you talk about sovereign citizen movement, the police officer actually... laid charges against our chief super, you know, called the Yidinji men a sovereign citizen movement. He said, sovereign citizen movement, Yidinji. That, and he put that in as a fact of the charge. A sovereign citizen movement, by the way, just for anyone who doesn't know, it's easy to find out. You get on the FBI website and they got a fact sheet on what it is. And it's a, you know, an anti-government movement. And they don't respect their law enforcement and the courts and all this sort of stuff. Hang on a sec. Hello, hello. We are the government. Hello. We have law enforcement. And they say they arrested one of our public officers who is part of law enforcement calling the Yidinji government a sovereign citizen movement. Whereas really, when we stop and think about, because sovereignty hasn't been ceded, maybe they are the sovereign citizen movement called Australia. But a lot of people do go down this track of pseudo-law, which is so far removed from any sense of reality, and they do need to be closely monitored.
Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, that, for example, the Yidinji police uniform couldn't be... It's far from the east as is from the west in terms of looking anything like or resembling anything like the Australian Federal Police or Queensland Police Officer, which is powder blue, baby blue shirt. And ours is a more beautiful Israeli khaki. And I think it's really important to really comprehend the situation that Mayara Nyalangi is the office. It's got Yidinji police written on there to tell them mob, hey, this is the Yidinji police. Not only does it look different, it's got a different name there. And this is the Yidinji nation asserting and expressing one of its forms of sovereignty. And that is the tribal law that is here, that's still here, and will be here tomorrow and forever and a day. So these things now are a bit more serious. And is this part of an ethnic cleansing regime that Anthony Albanese is running? Because I think these are very, very serious matters. It may just come across as some bloke having fun or whatever it may be in the newspaper, which the newspaper grossly misrepresented the indignation in, and I'm not surprised by that. But this is, like I said now, it's coming back to what is happening around the world and what is Yidinji, who is Yidinji, what is the Commonwealth of Australia and what is the state of Queensland?
Well, look, you know, we'll go back to the sovereign citizen description for a start, you know, where these people believe in, you know, God give me the right to the earth and I got every right to walk around and not contract with the state or whatever, the, you know, whatever belief they may have. And what they don't realise, actually, I think it's in one court case, I think it's only a magistrate's court level. I think it was the Queen versus Sweet down on near Brisbane or somewhere down there a couple of years ago, where they said in Australia, all humans are seen as persons. Well, the first thing I'd say to everyone, because they do mention sovereign citizen stuff later, but in Australia, okay, is it the geographical Australia or is it the legal Australia? You know, because there is two different worlds out there. One is the Commonwealth of Australia, the legal one, and one is the land we all walk around on as humans. And then when you're in Australia, that means under or based on the laws of Australia. The very word in means under or based on the laws of. So if you are seen in Australia, you are seen through a legal identity, through a person. So the human can't be in the legal world unless he's being seen through the legal identity called a person. Then they go on about the sovereign citizen stuff, you know, in that very stuff there that all people in Australia are subject to Australian law. And I agree with that 100%, but that's the Australian identity. But we're not in there. How did we get in if our sovereignty coexists with that of Australia?
Well, how does it get in there if there's no treaty, for example? Because to this day, the world, and especially the Commonwealth of Nations, says that Australia is the only one Commonwealth nation that doesn't have a treaty with the Indigenous peoples. And here is the Yidinji Nation, coming in with an olive branch to say, we wish to treat and or negotiate these things, and they're trying to lock up our police officers. Now, the other thing we have to remember is that not only was that sovereign citizen label demonstrably fallacious, the man acting as the magistrate clearly on the day said that it wasn't a sovereign citizen movement, and that this man wasn't a case of multiple personality, or split personality, rather. Forgive me, but you were there also, and I think clearly that branding of sovereign citizen in terms of Yidinji is absolutely incorrect.
Yeah, well, of course he's. Well, I suppose that statement that he's made, as you just pointed out, is you know, in one sense, there's no ambiguity that Matty, and yeah, it was confusing in a sense where the judge tried to refer to him as his Australian identity, then he referred to him as what sounded like his Yidinji identity, but at the same time he didn't acknowledge that Yidinji even existed. So it didn't make any sense, the court case, and that from that perspective of how to approach the law.
Yeah, and Gnara, this is interesting because as far as we know, all levels of the Australian governments and the police officers, the police stations rather, and in 2013 were given public notice that the Yidinji was back and that it was going to self-determine and be self-autonomous in terms of going about its business.
You mean in accord with the articles of the international world, the international sphere of law, and absolutely right. That was done back in 2013, 7th of January, just to be precise, and a copy was given to the police stations, all stations on the territory of the Yidinji Nation, Innisfail, Atherton, Mareeba, Cairns, even the water police, even the feds got a copy. Everyone got a copy to say we're back. So we sent it all over the world. Let them know, just to let them know we're going to be back doing our thing. Be very careful, because you're going to delve into the realms of coexisting sovereignty. Now, since we've done that, it's funny how things have taken place. The Recognition Act in the very start back in 2013 actually said, if you read the explanatory notes to the bill, they actually say we're not a united nation yet. We're not united in here. So the Aboriginals aren't part of Australia. They aren't in, that means subject to the laws of Australia yet, if you're in your true capacity. So we're there. We reckon that they know where we are. Now, the voice, you know, that come about, you know, because of the Uluru Statement. In the Uluru Statement, they said sovereignties coexist. You know, one lot haven't ceded sovereignty. So if we analyse this properly, if we haven't lost our sovereignty, who are the sovereign citizen movements on our country that don't recognise the legitimate government of our country? Is that Australia and its people? Now, it's actually verging on what's going on. It's a form of colonialism. It is a manifestation of colonialism because it hadn't gone away. It's still here. And that regime is verging on apartheid at present and other acts against humanity. And one is with this case with our Chief Superintendent of Police. It has ticked every box of the persecution crime against humanity. Now, persecution is what they're doing 100% to our people. You know, when they brought the newspaper along to that court hearing, was it brought there with the intent to humiliate our people, our racial group, our ethnic group? Was it brought there to take the mickey out of our lot? Was it brought there as part of the greater regime to show other Aboriginal nations who want to do this, don't go there because we're going to take we'll make that much fun out of you, we'll reduce you to nothing? Now, the magistrate had made some very clear statements. It wasn't a sovereign citizen movement. If it wasn't that, what was it?
Oh, well, this is the thing now. He also said that Matthew, the man, was of good character. So you're going to have to really look at the claims made by these Queensland police officers. And, you know, they're doing the job. I don't like, we've always maintained on this show and everywhere else that, look, we know that there is a process and that people need to be informed and educated as to what is happening. And the Yidinji Nation is back and we're doing our business.
But what they are doing is perjuring themselves. When they were in court recently, for the second time, you know, they made the statement they're unaware of they're unaware of the Yidinji Nation. Unaware. Meanwhile, only the week before, the evidence came out that they were made aware of the Yidinji Nation. To go into the next court and lie, I think that's, what's that, 14 years in jail, and a public official lying is more serious than what you think. So it's bringing a whole lot of stuff together. And what it's showing me is that the regime is trying everything now. Those members that are in the White Australia regime are trying everything to maintain their grip on their falling or their failing power, because the minute we step back and do our thing, they've lost control of the Aboriginal nations that are on here. Where at present, they're oppressing them. Now, if you read the Yurok Commission, the commissioner there asked the Commissioner of Victoria Police, do you acknowledge the existing sovereignty of the Aboriginal nations? He goes, yes, I do. And then he was asked by Tony McAvoy, the barrister, about the oppression and dispossession of the Aboriginal people by entities like the Victoria Police. He goes, yes, I understand that. He's acknowledging that there is an oppression that has taken place. So there's a historical context of what the police actually do. They are part of the regime that oppresses the Aboriginal people to where they're nothing. And then they get all the rest of the regime, which is the media and all that stuff, now social media, and they try and humiliate it and downgrade the Aboriginal people based on race and ethnicity. So they are. It's getting that close. This case that we're looking at is getting that close to apartheid. It's not funny. And it ticks every box so far, which then brings it into crimes against humanity, to which the ICC can come into. If the federal police don't want to investigate this case, then it'll have to go to the ICC. And this is really going to have to open up some pretty serious scabs inside Australia. Pull the scab off. Pull the band-aid off that scab of the manifestation of colonialism. Now we have this manifestation that's acting contrary to the Charter of the UN, that's wanting to continue the crimes against humanity, like subjugation, like apartheid, such as, you know, persecution of our people based on race, their collective group, their collectivity. Now, this is getting deadly serious, and there's some serious jail time. So these, you know, the Queensland police officers need to be very careful where they go from here, because they've put in fact in the charge sheets. They've said these are facts, that the sovereign Yidinji government is a sovereign citizen movement. Couldn't be any further from the truth. They know about us because, you know, the police have met our mob on the Esplanade a few times, over at the opening of Law Year. Look it up online. Our police officers are there behind all the hierarchy of the judicial system of the courthouse in Cairns and the hierarchy of police in Cairns, and yet none of our people were touched. But up there in the redneck world, there is some very racist people in that area because, you know, it's we'll shoot first. And I've actually had it said to me, you know, with what's going on. Now, this is a very serious allegation, and I'm sort of glad in a way it wasn't in public, because I would have to definitely report it. The statement was made to us. We got to continue the work from the old fellas, the forefathers. Shoot more black fellas. What a statement to make. We will sort the problem out. We'll shoot more black fellas. Now, that area is the highest no vote up there, by the way, is the highest no vote in Australia. Yet I get a comment like that.
Well, the question remains, and look, I'm not having a go at any police officer, but I will say this, if you don't know about the Yidinji Nation and you're living up here, if you don't know about the Aboriginal traditions and customs, then I'll tell you what, you're in for a big surprise.
It's recklessness.
It is, absolutely. You're supposed to know the law. You're supposed to be part of the community. You're supposed to, as a good police officer, you should know the organs of government. You should know the community people, the elders, the political leaders, the religious leaders, and know how to work and walk the beat in tune with and harmony with the community. Now, if you're not in harmony with or tune with the Aboriginal people, maybe you want to lock them up. Maybe you want to shoot them.
Unless you're part of the organs of the regime that want to maintain the white Australia policy. That one. Are you part of that? Now, I know there's people from all over the world that have come into our area, and they're from other areas, you know, South Africa, Zimbabwe. They've come in where they have been dispossessed of their land over there under the decolonisation process. They've jumped out of the pot, out of the pan, into the fire, because this place hasn't been sorted out yet. Now, some of those people may be really upset over what happened over there and how they were dispossessed of everything, because the rightful people got their land back. It just hasn't occurred here yet. And this is where I've had a South African actually ring me up once, going back 4 or 5 years. And when I explained the situation of how sovereignty has not been resolved here yet, because I said, there, look, go and look it up yourself. He said, I will not be going to Australia in any way, shape or form. I don't want to go back to what I'm leaving now in South Africa. So, you know, it was a bore, if you want to put it that way, the bore South African. But he didn't want to come to this place because the issue of sovereignty hadn't been resolved. Now, Anthony Albanese knows. He knows that the sovereignty hadn't been sorted out. Is he responsible for not educating his junior officers? You know, the lower down, you know, as you come down through the ranks of the parliament, through the senators, through the MPs, down into the bureaucrats coming into the state of Queensland, has he not educated them and he's going to throw them under the bus? Now, these poor coppers up there might be doing their job as best as they can with what they know. But do they know about the sovereignty issue? And this is what comes back to education.
Yeah, I think it's clear as crystal that the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in Australia, that is, through Minister Wong, Penny Wong, who occupies that office at the moment, holds it, clearly does not want to talk to the Yidinji Nation. She is part of the problem. She, whatever her advisers are instructing or giving advice to her, is to her detriment and to the Commonwealth of Australia and the state of Queensland. So, and if I was a junior police officer or a senior one, even at that, I'd be asking the Prime Minister what the hell's going on. I'd be asking the State Premier what the hell is going on. Who are these people that are going around claiming they own the place? And do we own it or not? It's very, very simple. And Yirralum, I mean, the whole point about this is that the Yidinji Nation's been doing this with a pep in its step, but also with the interests of peace and security, at the core of our business here.
Yeah, of course. That's one of the key differences of the perspectives that are fighting against Yidingi taking its rightful place. You know, it's always been here. It was here way before colonisation. It continues to be here today. And it doesn't matter whether the courts recognise it or not, but the mistake they're making is trying to persecute our citizens. They have no right to do that. So that's where things are going to get interesting.
And, you know, if we're going to take law seriously, then all persons and things are the property of the Yidingi Nation. I'm sorry, whether you're from France or anywhere else, if you're here without consent and through a formal agreement, and guess what? The Yidingi Nation owns you and that personality or whatever documentation that you may bring here. So these are the facts at law. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And, you know, the law is a double-edged sword. So if you're going to use it to persecute people, then guess what? It's going to come back and bite you in the backside.
Or is this going to be continuing your acting contrary to the charter of the UN? Are you just going to keep being that belligerent that you're going to keep doing that stuff and just keep bashing blackfellas because, you know, the might is right. We'll just keep bashing them and we'll just keep shooting them and we'll keep jamming them in jail. We keep doing that stuff to bash them down. It does not excuse you. If you go and read the Rome Statute, it says all public officials can be held accountable just like any private citizen can. There's no exemption of getting away from crimes against humanity.
Well, the Genocide Convention Act, 1947...
49
or whatever it is, also states that there's no, whether you're a lowly public official or you're the head of state, genocide can apply to that person.
Well, let's have a look. Sovereignty is not ceded. So it hasn't been extinguished. So we're here. We're here under our rightful steam. No one can take that away from us until we give it away. Now, some mob move into our camp and start to take over. So now we're under occupation. Now, if they were to gain sovereignty over us, if we were to give it to them, then fair enough, it's just an ordinary occupation. But now it's a belligerent occupation. Now we owe them nothing. We don't owe any allegiance to any of the Commonwealth of Australia or its world or whatever. Even though they're trying to force us in, the regime is trying to oppress us, hold us down far enough and subjugate us to get us into their world, and you will be seen through the Australian identity. You know, you will. This is what I'm saying. It is now getting very, very close to real serious crimes against humanity. And if the federal police don't want to investigate this issue that's now being raised, and look, we're putting it on air. The reason we're putting it on air is that everyone knows. They all hear this. Now, all the Aboriginal mobs can do this. If they're holding you down and suppressing you, which is acknowledged by the Yuruk Commission down in Victoria, that the police do this sort of stuff. They do oppress people as part of the regime to have their power trip, whatever it may be, then they may be susceptible to the international crimes where, you know, Australia is acting contrary to the charter of the UN by being a manifestation of colonialism on our country. They haven't got the right to be here, so they're belligerent. We owe them nothing. They owe something to us. Let's start working out a deal together and let's make this stuff go away before it ends up in the abyss of where certain members, and it might be Albanese, over before the International Court for not telling his juniors about the true state of play.
Yeah, you're listening to Black Lord Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break.
Survival of run. Rituals since time begun. The circle of life is never broken. My ancestors of time have spoken. Free the slave of your mind, get open. A manuscript for a future, here's to hoping. Let it breathe just a little bit. Hey world, believe just a little bit. And if you can see in an etiquette of respect, birth to peace becomes relevant. But that concept alone is irrelevant. To ambition, such tests are heaven sent. That's why we grab mics and go ridiculous and scream represent till the whole world be feeling it. Yeah.
Songs of our time, teachers of our story.
Let it be written in the maze. The survival of a culture is the reason that we made it. Yeah.
Spirit.
Yes, welcome back to the show. Ginyara, in that particular exchange there, what you can describe as a courtroom, it was, I think it was said there, and I can't say this verbatim, but that Yidinji doesn't have rights inside of in Queensland. And I would agree, because that particular person's assertion of that line of positioning would be correct in that Yidinji doesn't have rights in Queensland because we're not in Queensland, and because we don't have rights in Queensland, we don't have obligations to Queensland. We have no allegiance to Queensland. It is foreign, like I said, as from the east as from the west. Yidinji Nation is not Australian, and I think that's a very important thing to remind people of.
We have our rights and authority under the sovereignty that coexist with Australia. In Queensland means, once again, we'll go back to the very definition. Is this the geographical Queensland we're talking about, or the legal Queensland, the state of Queensland? And they're talking about the state of Queensland. And then you put the word in, under or based on the laws of the state of Queensland. We've got no rights in there. All our rights are outside that. Our rights are under our own sovereignty that coexist with the Commonwealth. Native title, you know, the Mabo decision made it very clear. The natives own their land pursuant to their law. Nothing to do with Australia. Just native title only allows the Aboriginal people to demonstrate their ownership under their own laws, not inside it. You get nothing in Australia. This is what I'm saying. The Commonwealth of Australia is acting so contrary to the Charter of the UN and international law and the international covenants of civil and political rights. It needs to be dragged in before the courts, the international courts.
And I'm sure the average mum and dad out there are going, what the hell's going on? Because, you know, we see acknowledgements of country everywhere and welcomes, and our school children are learning about Indigenous peoples and there's Indigenous people going to school there, and yet these police officers have never heard about Yidinji.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a confusing time. And in saying that too, I think most people are living in a dream world of the existence of Aboriginal people. They're sort of on the outskirts of most people's daily lives, all the Queenslanders and the Australians. It's sort of not something which there is much focus on other than either an inconvenience or an acknowledgement. But, you know, talking on the legal side, it was interesting in the court case that the judge basically used an example at the end of the court case where he pointed out an earlier court case in Cairns, I believe it happened, in the courts down here, where there was a young man who was declaring himself to be Yidinji, and And the judge used this case saying, well, no, you've got no, as you just said, you know, there is no obligation, there is no rights in Queensland for the Yidinji citizens. But that's the whole point. This man wasn't a Yidinji citizen. He was in a court holding a Queensland or Australian identification. That wasn't the case in Mareeba the week before last. Our chief of police was in there with his Yidinji identity, not his Australian.
And he also presented on camera as Yidinji. So even the Queensland police body cam confirmed that was the events that took place, Kanyara. And this is the issue. If King Charles comes to Australia, he's the King of Australia, he will identify in the correct office as holding the King of Australia title. If he goes to Jamaica, he's the King of Jamaica. He can't be the King of Australia in Kingston, or he can't be the King of Australia in London. Okay, so he has to change office. And Matthew Bilborough has every right, is it true or not, as Charles. So Matthew has every right to do what Charles can do, because aren't we all equal under the law or not?
We're all equal. We're all humans on this place together, and we've got every right to do what we got to do. And that's what, you know, I agree with the statement, you know, about King Charles. He's the King of Australia. I agree with that. But he's not our king. You know, he's not the king of the Yidinji mob in any way, shape or form, because there's no treaty between us and them. So he can be the king of wherever he wants to be. But when he leaves here, the important thing to remember is when he leaves, the Governor-General fills his role. So he's gone, and they can't have another king step in here. It's only got to be Charles. It can't be anyone else. So he's got to have a Governor-General step into the role and do his job while, you know, on behalf of the king. Same over in London. When he leaves over there to come here, there's four people fill his role over there. So we're all human. You know, there was a Yuval Harari. He had a good speech, you know, about this.
This is the guy from the World Economic Forum.
That's it.
That's not as famous as Klaus, but he's getting there.
Oh, I like his speech. You know, he said, you cut a human open, you don't find human rights inside there. You find hearts and lungs and kidneys and stuff, but you don't find human rights. The human rights are in the legal world. He said, What's the United States of America? It's just some story in our head. Just like, you know, what's money? It's just some story in our head. But the human is real, and the geographical Australia is real, and the trees are real, but not the paper Australia. It doesn't have a right to be on our country where we got our paper Yidinji.
That's right. And the what is real is that Yidinji owned this land pursuant to Yidinji law, and that's coming straight from Dowsett Justice Dowsett from the Federal Court of Australia. Now, we're not making that up. They're asserting that. We didn't have to make any claim. They said it, and we own it. So which one is it? Is it the Queensland police officer who says that it's a sovereign citizen movement, or is it Justice Dowsett that says Yidinji own the land pursuant to their law? They have a system of decision-making, a system of land tenure, adoption, the whole lot, and this is what has driven the Yidinji Nation in terms of that grundnorm or foundation of law has given the ability for the elders, one, first and foremost, to bless this office and this government to go forth and do its bidding, whether it's here or overseas, wherever it may be, but it can never be the same as Australia.
Never, never. Look, and this is something that I want to remind, especially if the local police are hearing this, they really want to listen to this and listen very carefully, because under the Criminal Code 95, that's the federal one, the Commonwealth Criminal Code, go and look it up, Section 268. It's over there, crimes against humanity. Look at persecution. Look at apartheid. Look at the jail sentences that come with this. And no one can escape this. Now, if the federal police don't investigate it, they'll have to go to the ICC, and then they will be investigated as part of the regime that wouldn't uphold the rule of law, the Australian law, that can be held against all Australians. Now, if they're going to persecute us, which is what they're doing, or they're going to be a form of apartheid, or other crimes against humanity, inhumane acts, go and look them up. They're in the Act. They're in that legislation. It's the law. That someone's got to go to jail for up to 24 years, I think it is, for 17 years for apartheid. You know, it just goes on. Now, if they are going to keep going at what they're doing, we will have to get an Australian citizen to level that charge against them through the feds. The federal police will have to investigate. If they don't, it has to go overseas to where the whole lot are investigated. Now, there will be senators down there that we know that will do this, you know, that will raise this very question down in the big house in Canberra. it's not a joke anymore. It's not a joke. You know, the Prime Minister should be telling his underlings, especially the Attorney General, should be telling his underlings. Reid Hansard, 7th of November 2022. The sovereignty of the Aboriginal people is nothing but an issue for the Attorney General. It's nowhere else. It shouldn't be in the Magistrates Court. Be very careful of where you go from here.
And may I also remind people out there that UN member states that sit on the Security Council are very, very supportive of Indigenous rights. Not only that, they have described Yidingi as a friendly nation.
Well, actually, we do have a letter from one of those on the Security Council, a permanent member, who have stated that they have an interest in what happens to our Chief Superintendent of Police. They have that. They've said that to us. We're very interested to see what happens there.
So, once again, there are serious implications. But the easiest solution to it all is Albanese, come into the office, we'll give you a little stamp. Welcome to Yidingi. Let's have a sit down and talk. Have a cup of tea. We've been saying that for the last 10 years, but Australia has been dragging its feet, kicking the can down the road, whatever it's doing. Penny Wong, you know, I'm disappointed that you haven't accepted or denied my request to meet face-to-face. And I think, you know, you're doing a disservice to the Commonwealth. And, you know, we're not people with the plague. We're not criminals. We're not, you know, have
we're
some
not
sort
a
of
sovereign citizen movement.
That's right. We don't have infectious diseases that we know about. But anyway, I'm having a bit of a joke there. But this is a serious nature. And Yirrkala, I guess that you know, this is a hearts and minds game where, like I said, the average family, like, they're not going to see it as a sovereign citizen movement. They're like, well, you know, we're not going into shopping centres and with machine guns and doing stuff like that. This is, the world is falling apart right before our very eyes, and Yidingi is leading the nation in terms of the world, that is, in how to go about this peacefully and amicably with honour.
Yeah, well, there's a word for you, honour. That doesn't seem to exist on the other side. You know, I was born in a country that has the sad claim to being the supplier of the system of apartheid to South Africa. And, you know, in South Africa, that is different over here in the sense that that was a minority of white people trying to or actually ruling over and taking control of the country of the original inhabitants over there. Now we've got the opposite happening here. I suppose it's a progression of apartheid in Australia. Since they knew how to do it from the beginning, it's now one where it's trying to forcibly include. What's the word for that, Gunyara? Forcibly include.
Assimilate.
I knew there was a word coming over that one. So it's assimilation that seems to be the approach that's, you know, ignore the fact that every one of the 200-plus nations on this continent have the inalienable right, the first right, the one that can't be ceded or given away. They've got the right to choose how they want to be and live and act in a lawful way, in a cultural way. And Australia is doing its very best to put its head in the sand. You know, it's maybe they bought back an ostrich from over there and they're using that here. They've got that head in the sand where they don't want to recognise or see all the peoples that exist here.
And you know what? The cassowary doesn't bury its head. And that's a very important thing, that, you know, it is a totem and an animal that is from this land, and it's on the coat of arms, for example. And this is, it's not a reindeer or a unicorn or some sort of space alien. This is real stuff.
And look, they can't, as you said about assimilation, if you go and read the Human Rights Act 2019, the Queensland one, you know, it's there. The Aboriginals can't be forced to assimilate. Hang on a sec. What does that actually say? Assimilate in what? Assimilate in Queensland or assimilate in their nation? What is it? They can't be forced to assimilate. Now, that's straight out the ICCPR. People got to understand that. This is very real covenants that the Commonwealth of Australia signed up for, and Queensland have now bought into their domestic legislation. That's what I'm saying. These police have got to be so careful what they do here, and especially the magistrate sitting on the bench. If he starts to say, no, yous are one of us, he's going to have to start to answer that question. Then into the international courts, are you enforcing the regime's rule over the oppression over these other people based on race and ethnicity?
Oh, maybe I could pass on some recommendation here as one who is working in a bureaucracy. How about you upward refer this matter, put it to bed and say, I'm going to put this forward to my superior to deal with it. And that's the hot potato goes up the chain all the way to Anthony. And but anyway, you're listening to Black Lord Tribal Edition right across the planet. We'll be back after the break.
Listen up. Kobe Rap, MC Mooks, Black Father Entertainment. My flag, yeah, so it's red, black, and yellow. Always was and always will be, but I'll always do rap in my country. My flag, yeah, so it's red, black, and yellow. Always was and always will be, but I'll always do rap in my country. It's red, black, and yellow, yeah, that's my flag, bros. Hide it or lie, but I'll raise my flag up. We about to come up in dozens of it and mad, but just because you done jail time, you think you bad, huh? It's kinda funny how some people lack. Looking like dummies, no knowledge is what you people lack. Aboriginals coming, so where my people lack? If we keep it 100, you can't compete with that. Stuff you gotta rap about is for my mum and dad. My daughter, my two sisters, and my pop and nan. My nieces and nephews, I can't stop at that. 11 brothers, different mothers, yeah, they've got my back. I've got a couple day oneers I've known since a young and real ones and never turned their back. Yeah, I love them, now it's time we crush them and show you what I'm about. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, that's my flag. Yeah, it's always red, black, and yellow. Well, it doesn't always will be, but I'll always be repping my pride.
Get smacked down when my brother's up on his track. Now black is the color of my skin, the color of the night, the color of me in the wrong, now I'm in the right. Yellow's what they call me, cause I got the lighter skin, but a yellow hello, just to get the brothers in, for my relos, velos. Yeah, you know my love is here, but I rap for my country, cause I'll always be my kid. Red rum, the red roars, the blood of a soul. Red sunsets, and when it's going down for sure, make me mad and I'll leave your red blood on the floor. I bleed for my people, red blood to the core. Black, yellow, red, yeah, you heard what I said. If you starting on my mama, take it up, don't forget. Black history to this country, got a mad step. Black, yellow, red, off the shirt of it, I guess.
My flag, yeah, it's always red, black, and yellow. Always will be, but I'm always keep up at my gun.
Blackfellow Entertainment.
And that brings an end to the Black Law Tribal Edition for this week. Your favourite podcast, we know you love it. And hopefully we'll have a lot more downloads and viewers, audience rather, listeners. And you can get that on the via the Bumabipra Facebook page, their website. And you can listen to it via the National Indigenous Radio Service. So some final comments, guys, before we head off.
It's you know, we're here to offer the solution to the Australians with their head in the sand. You know, here it is. This is how it works. This is how we're moving forward. And, of course, all the other First Nations in this continent.
Well, if they don't want to accept that offer, they've got to be very careful how they act. Because, look, there's some serious jail time for certain people in this game. You know, if they want to call it a game and we're all just acting, there's some serious jail time. And if it doesn't get investigated here in Australia, it's got to go overseas to the International Criminal Court, where it might get a bit more serious for Australia. So, look, we're here to offer the treaty. We're here to offer the remedy. We're here to offer the solution. But you just got to grab it.
Well, if you've got your head buried into the sand, that means your backside is exposed. That's all I can say. So get your head out of the sand and walk tall. And not only that, ostriches and cassowaries can coexist. in that realm. But anyway, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. Thank you so much for your time and energy, ministers, and we'll catch you next week. May God's peace be upon you in the almighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for it is written, He is the way, the truth, and the life. We'll catch you next week.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
I stand with you in the room.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't want to believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't at the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited? Disinheritance took the privilege, y'all took the wealth. Took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet, nigga. New day seems nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain from my great-grandmama, from my nana, from my cousins, from my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lock up, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Look, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters. If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Look, we sacrifice another black voice. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me to become complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart that's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward, praying for the fallen, dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that walk on by. For the lies that they preach us, the violence, silent agreements, the pride and deceit, our willingness to believe for the nightmare that this down dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming the better ways of a better day and some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years. Nothing. We push above where we are. It ain't hard if we all got the courage to get up and get involved with it. Let it, let it love. Come on.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters.
Baby.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it.
Family. Look. Your black life matters.
Trying to get close, step straight to the back. I tell them no way. Trying to get through these walls, they built reinforced. I tell them go away.
the cause, and I've been here before when I said that I still want more. So anyone trying to get close, one word to your wall, but that's no war.
The mic now, get strength from the bully beef, just to bully the beat. This is my playground, gubba gubba for the fake clowns. This the hammer time with the runaway, want that island life, I'm a castaway. Need a vacate to the ZK, time to hustle hard for the payday. This a conquest, on my way to the TOP. I got no time for the enemies, these possible tongues say friend of me. But the strong heart of a R.E.B. got a snake, baller acting finicky. So I kill him quick with a free flow, I break necks and kill egos. Keep them coming back like good puss on a free coat. I'm about to make change like I'm Nino. Two puffs of the weed smoke. Sick of my broke friends with no pay. Always come around and freeload to the bad vibes. Tell them c'est la vie. It's sorry beat to the cemetery. Give a fuck what you telling me. Live life like I'm 24 with that black mamba mentality. Truth never miss. Shoot from the hip. Never a bitch. I ain't like grip when I'm flipping the switch. Digging your ditch. Dead or alive. Top block. Red eye bullets. We stay at the top of your list. Ain't that a bitch? Got you saying.
Another pain that I've been causing.